And it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, welcoming Chris Thayer and Hector Lara to the studio. Thank you so much for coming in.
Hey, thank you, Dave.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to be talking about a night of stand-up comedy a little bit later in the program. This is something that both of you have been a part of organizing. And Hector, I believe you're the featured performer. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm lucky to be selected by Chris. There's a lot of better options, but I think he thinks I need the practice, so
I appreciate it. The sad thing is I'm technically headlining this thing, but really Hector should be headlining this thing. He's got way more years in than I do. Maybe it's hubris. I don't know what it is. A lack of fear, sense, but I just figured let's do this. Let's do a taping.
It's just humility that keeps you from bragging about modesty.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, all right. Let's start with Chris. We've had on in the past talking about music, Big Papa and the TCB. Then it was Chris Thayer and the TCB, the Storybook Villains, the Depravity Brothers. We've spoken about your books, your novels, as well as graphic novels, and now comedy. I think stand-up comedy is really not too far removed from many theater majors. And
oh, yeah.
So we'll get to, I suppose, more about how you got into it a bit later. But first, let's shape that a little bit. I think that you're old enough to predate cable and satellite TV.
Hey, take it easy, eh?
Right out of the gate, you do this. Come on. Yeah. You should have slapped me first. Kiss me at least if you're going to. Okay. So what was your source? You know, in the days of three channels and UHF, what was your source for stand-up comedy? I suppose Carsten Letterman, maybe albums.
Sure. I think HBO was probably one of the biggest sources for me. Cinemax, I think, had a little bit. But, you know, HBO had...
Yeah, this Young Comedian Special or what that was.
Oh, yeah. Like Rodney Dangerfield and a lot of that stuff. I mean, I've liked comedy all my life, whether it be comedy films or stand-up or whatever. And I think even in high school, you know, I fancied myself a bit of a class clown. You know, we used to do really wild things. Like some friends and I would volunteer to go get the... This is going to sound really old. To go get the TV and VCR cart.
Because you
didn't have them in the classroom.
Yeah.
And what we would do is my friend Kevin and I, Kevin Swan, we would go and get the cart and we would stop at every classroom on the way back, open the door and go, oh, what? This isn't the library. And then we would move on to the next class. It would take like 20 minutes for us to get back from picking up the cart.
A 3-minute operation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I remember, I mean, around the house, my brother and I, that is, we had like Robin Williams' Reality, What a Concept, the album. Also Richard Pryor, Live on the Sunset Strip.
Yes.
And we took from our parents the button-down mind of Bob Newhart. So we
got that
other end of the phone call type of comedy. So Hector, how about you? What were some of the comedians you enjoyed growing up? And what was your source as well, I suppose?
You know, I think I took a route that a lot of people maybe don't talk about. It wasn't really stand-ups influencing me. It was my mom at home. She had a good sense of humor, but it was sitcoms. It was Benny Hill.
Ah.
It was Lucille Ball, the Carol Burnett Show. It was the sitcoms during the 80s. I grew up in the 80s mostly and went to high school in the 90s, but it was the TV generation. I mean, from 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock on, it was sitcoms, funny. It was comedy. And then from there, as I got older, I saw on the weekends there were comedy shows, but we didn't have HBO. I didn't get introduced to the stand-up comic until later. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was mostly sitcoms, mostly the big names like that. And then also late night talk shows.
Yeah,
sure.
Whoever I mean, late night is comedy. Huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as much as it's not like super advisable to admit anymore, but, you know, growing up, that Bill Cosby himself special was huge.
Well, at one point, that was okay to say.
That was the standard. But for me, it was, I mean, he's a terrible human being. But I think the big thing is, he went through an entire hour special and maybe said one mildly profane word.
Oh, sure.
And for me, that was like you juxtapose that with Eddie Murphy's Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the spectrum where, you know, at that point, Richard Pryor before then.
Yeah.
So it was like you could do a wide range of things. So, yeah, for me, it was fun seeing how wide and diverse comedy could be.
Yeah. I remember, too, I think I was much older before I realized that the first half of, say, Carson's opening monologue, or then it was Leno and Joan Rivers. Anytime any one of those were sick, she would jump in. But the first half of their monologue, it was a stand-up routine.
Yes.
Before they got to, you know, whoever the guest was.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been right there, Don Rickles or Richard Pryor.
For sure.
You know, somebody like that. Okay, so Hector, with, say, sitcoms as opposed to stand-up, the type of comedy that you ended up developing, would you say it's more reflective of that, say, situational type humor, as opposed to writing, remembering a joke, writing it down, putting it in your notes when you're pretending to get a drink of water?
I think it's mixed into my comedy, because it feels like every comic will say, I tell stories, things like that. It's not a setup and punch style,
okay. But
it does take that route. And I never thought about it until you just mentioned it. Maybe that has an influence, it's sitcoms, because it had a start, a middle, and an ending. And it just did this funny road all the way to the end, and it seems to be reflected in the comedy. So you just gave me something to think about. So.
Nice. Chris, how about you? I've seen just a small portion what you sent me actually not too long ago. So your type of stand-up comedy presentation, that is, say, prepared stories versus jokes versus
Sure. Just
sort of observing what's going on in the news, or even prop comedy, for example.
I just don't have a brain for, you know, setup punchline type jokes. Okay. I look at comics like Jeselnik, who almost his entire show is like setup punchline, and it's just over and over and over. For me, it's too hard to remember that. And the other thing is, what am I going to add to that world? I think for me, this is just another avenue for me to tell stories. I'm very anecdotal in that sense. A lot of it centers around family experiences. All the interests that I have seem to find a way in. I do some stuff about Comic-Con and how insane that is. You know, being a teacher and how incredibly insane that can be. Being a new dad, going from a bachelor to a father of three within a year.
Gotcha.
You know,
right. That
kind of thing. I think there's enough insanity and humor in the everyday life that's kind of my sweet spot.
Okay. Have you ever incorporated music into your comedy routine?
Okay, so it seems like a no-brainer, right? Because I've been a musician for 30 plus years. Honestly, I have steered clear of incorporating music because it's felt like a cop-out to me.
Ah.
And the thing that I love about stand-up is that it's hard.
Okay.
At 30 plus years of playing music, it's not hard in the sense that it's difficult to get where I'm trying to go. It's comfortable. It's like another extension of who I am. Stand-up, you could have all the preparation in the world and it still goes sideways.
Sure.
And it's so dependent upon how you deliver something, but then also how it's received. So I always have backed away from incorporating the music because I feel like it would be cheating the process.
Okay.
That said, I have it in my back pocket. And I mean, you know, I've written a lot of funny songs like Long Blonde Hair.
Oh my God, yeah.
And Granola Girl and, you know, a lot of these songs. I'm not going to say for sure, but there's a strong possibility that we'll see some of that for this taping.
It almost has to happen now.
Yeah. But I've been holding on to it. I've maybe incorporated the music 2 times out of all the years I've been doing stand-up. Again, I feel like I'm taking the easy way if I do that.
So what did you do? Did you play a funny song or did you sort of say something?
Little of both. Like, we did an open mic recently and it's a really rough room. Like, half the people are there just to drink and make noise and catch up with each other. And trying to cut through that is so difficult. So I brought the guitar and I had every intention of playing a song, but I wasn't getting the attention from the room. So I just basically kept tuning and pretending to start. And I never played a song. I was up there for 10 minutes, just kept pretending like I was going to start and I would play a little bit. And then I would go tell a story. And it was so immature, but I was like, they don't deserve a song. You know, like, I'm going to hold that back. But it just became a challenge. Can I stall this for 10 minutes? And never give them the payoff.
You should do it with a tuba.
That would be really cool.
That's an attention getter. I learned way too late that Steve Martin, I mean, of course, there's the banjo side, there's the comedy side.
Yes.
I only recently learned that he was only telling jokes because he didn't have enough banjo material.
Really?
And then slowly that kind of took over.
That's wild. I hadn't heard that either.
Decades later that it was the banjo thing.
Oh, okay. He's a phenomenal banjo player.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. It's just amazing just going down that route.
I read the Steve Martin autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a biography. Anyway, the point is he got so big doing stand-up that he could just make a noise and people would laugh. And it became no fun. Mm-hmm. And that goes to the heart of why I didn't bring the guitar in.
Okay.
Because I like the challenge. I like that, like a garage band of teenagers, it could totally go sideways at any moment. And I love that about it.
Okay. Do you think it's easier in the world of music? Like, you know, you read the room and you know pretty quick whether you needed to play Kiss or the Carpenters.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And for comedy, I suppose, you're still hopefully reading the room and hopefully.
I think it depends on who you are and how you feel that night. Because I know Hector has gone into some pretty conservative rooms and he did a lot of left-wing stuff and tried to see if he could get them on his side. I think sometimes we do those things just to challenge ourselves. And there's great comics that, like Bill Burr, does this.
God, yeah.
He'll say the most heinous thing you can imagine. And the challenge is, can I get the audience to go, yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the type of guy that says stuff that you're ready to be offended. You may be laughing, but I'm not going to show my wife this.
Yes.
But then he says something really smart and really brings it back together.
Yes.
And it's no longer some sort of offensive thing.
That's the challenge.
Yeah. I think that, too, the whole reading the room thing, it could be misinterpreted, too, where I think you read the room, are there children? Is this more of a light audience? Do I have to go super offensive? No. But I think, though, you also cannot pander to the audience.
Yes.
You have to do you. Because if you start pandering, start trying to perform what you think they want, they're not going to react. They never react. It just has never worked. So just be you. You're unique. They want to see what you're all about. Even if they don't like it, at least they saw something unique.
Right.
But if you're trying to be like everyone else, they're just going to tune you out. My worst experiences have been when I think I'm pandering to the crowd. Oh, they're older. They're not going to like this. Or they're not Latino or they are Latino or this. And it just goes sideways. When I just do me, I'm surprised. I'm always surprised how they react. So it's reading the room, yes, but at the same time, still do you, and just wherever the cards fall, that's it.
Yeah. Again, that goes back to, it's like a tightrope walk. Mm. You don't know if it's going to work, but you go out there anyway, you know, and that's the fun of it.
And you find out real quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, there are people who legitimately go out and try to bomb just so they can sit in that awkwardness, you know, in that uncomfortable moment. I don't do it personally. I do it naturally, you know, but there are people who will do that. They'll try and alienate the room and then try and get them back.
Right.
Like there's a local comic. He's been around for quite a while. His name's Johnny Gold. And he's super good at that because he'll say some pretty out there things. And by the end of his set, you're like, wow, that was pretty impressive.
Really?
Out there attempting to offend or out there esoteric, kind of an Andy Kaufman, just weird.
It's not weird.
Art project.
He's not weird, but I think he's definitely pushing the boundaries.
Okay.
And that's something I really respect about him is that he will say something that's very uniquely him. And people will be like, good Lord. And by the end of the set, it's like, he shows you who he is a little bit, and you can't help but love that.
Wow.
And that's one of those things that I aspire to as well.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to offend people because I always have the philosophy, if I'm going to do comedy, people should laugh.
Yes.
You know, you're there to make them feel better about their day or to enjoy themselves. You're not there to make somebody angry necessarily. If you can push their buttons a little bit, but in a playful way, that's fine. But I think too many, especially young comics, really just want to push the envelope and forget why they're there in the first place. You know, it's to make people laugh.
You should always know where the edge is, though, and don't shy away from it. Always try to, because then it just becomes boring.
Safe.
Yeah, safe, and you don't want that.
Yeah.
So try to get to the edge, but not so far over it. You want to hang, but not go like a lemming.
Some people jump.
Some people jump blindfolded, feet first.
Okay, it's a baptism by fire, they call it. Okay. I'm David Fleming in conversation with C.W. Thayer and Hector Lara, both organizers of an evening of stand-up comedy in Redlands April 4th, both on stage for this as well. Hector, how did this start for you, being in the world of comedy? You know, cutting up in church or school, a talent contest, somewhere along the line, something in college. Where was it and what was it for you?
Actually, it wasn't until in my late, late, late years.
Okay.
I had always talked about it to some friends, and then they showed me a YouTube video about a friend of theirs that was doing stand-up, and then I saw a link, and it was students of stand-up in Orange County. And it says, sign up, $250, six-week class, and it ends with a show. And I said, that's going to force me to walk through the door. Other people started open mics or, you know, like you said, talent shows or at.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then I felt like I was cheating a little bit, but I talked to a veteran comic friend that I have and he says, whatever gets you through the door.
Right.
And then after that, it was a brand new world. It was one of those, what took me so long?
Right.
Okay. Right. What about you, Chris? Where did it start?
Honestly,
for you?
Honestly, I mean, you've seen me play over the years in different projects, and and there's always stuff in between songs where I try and make jokes. And early on, I was just saying the jokes that my bass player Steve would say quietly behind me, and then I would say them and get a laugh. I was totally stealing his material. But I think at some point, I just thought, music, I won't say it's not a challenge, but I think there was something safe about it for me, and I wanted to do something that wasn't easy. And I think for me, I met a guy when I was doing a podcast, a guy named Brett Miller is a local comedian as well. And we started talking after the podcast about stand-up, and he was hosting shows here and there. And I always wanted to try it. So I worked up my tight five, but I had some extra, and he put me on a show. And I had never even done an open mic or anything. He put me on a show, and it was a little loose. You know, I invited friends out and some family, and a lot of people showed up for me, and it was a very safe crowd to perform in front of. I went up to do my five, and five came and went, and I just like kept talking, and I'm like, are you ever going to let me off the stage? And they were in the back talking or doing whatever, and 13 minutes go by, and finally I'm like, I think I'm out of material, dude. Like, you need to get me out of here. So yeah, I mean, my first time up, I did 13 minutes and it went great. And then, you know, the next time you try it, of course, it's a disaster.
Gotcha.
You know, it's kind of like gambling. Everybody wins their first time out. The weird thing for me is I did a couple shows, and this was probably back 2016, 2017.
Okay.
And the scene at the time was pretty caustic. I mean, there were a lot of guys who were either on drugs or depressed, which is pretty common for comics. But it was a pretty caustic scene, and I was coming from music. And when you do a show with people, it's like, hey, man, you're awesome. Why don't you come up with me and play on this next song? And it's a community type thing.
Yeah.
Whereas we would be in the back of the room watching the guy on stage, and everyone would be talking trash about the guy on stage. And then he would come off, the next guy would go up, and then everybody talked trash about that guy. And I'm like, this is not a great scene. So I quit within the first like 6 months. And I didn't go back to it until after the pandemic. And I'd watched so much stand-up during the shutdown that I'm like, why did I let those knuckleheads keep me from doing something that I was passionate about?
Sure.
And luckily, the scene had completely changed. And when I came back, there were some younger comics who were kind of doing some cool things. They're in a group now called the Buddy System, and they were doing mics all over the place. And it was a much more community-based thing. These guys didn't need to put on open mics all over the place. They were able to go do shows everywhere, but they were doing that as a way of building a comedy scene this area. That led me to really dive into it full steam.
Okay, so we've talked about this taping coming up soon. Let's talk about the event. We've decided that it doesn't actually have a name. It's a night of comedy.
It's a night of purple, because there's a lot of purple going on.
Purple thing?
Yeah. Okay. We'll call it the purple thing.
Okay. Well, let me see. Now, it is sold out, but okay, one, I have to say, this is coming up April 4th. Where? What time?
It is at the Improv School in Redlands. The doors open at 8. The show starts at 8:30.
Okay.
And we sold out pretty early.
Yeah.
So there is a possibility that people won't come. I'm hoping they do. So even if it is sold out, there may still be some room for people to get in if they just want to, you know, they're local and they want to come by.
Really, like any and every live performance, somebody's not going to show. But now that said, I hope that you're maybe already planning another one. And with this one filling up so quickly.
Yeah, we'll make Hector headline the next one. He'll do the 45 to 60.
So with this one filling up, is the lesson to be learned, well, okay, we need to get a bigger venue or keep them small so we can have bragging rights of standing room only every single time?
I like smaller venues.
Yeah.
I think smaller venues are a little harder because there's less anonymity in the audience. Like, you can generally see everybody. And this is a non-alcoholic selling, which tends to help if there's alcohol to make people laugh.
Or lack just, security in the parking lot.
Right, right. But I like the idea of making sure you sell out and having an intimate crowd. I've done stuff in big rooms. Hector's played some big rooms. And I feel like it's a little easier to win the crowd over when there's more people. And maybe I'm wrong on that, but I kind of feel like those people are there to laugh, and there's safety in the dark.
In the bigger venues.
In the bigger venues.
And really, if you ask a very general question, statistically speaking, there are going to be dozens, if not hundreds more, that could relate to that thing and shout out, yeah, that's right, CW, testify. Right.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up the CW thing. So I probably should explain why I'm not using Chris. I've been forced to use CW because there is another Chris Thayer.
Really?
In the comedy world. And he worked on the Pete Holmes show, and he's doing some touring. He's still playing small venues for the most part, as far as I know. But he beat me to it. So he actually reached out to me as I was starting to do stand-up, and it was just a total coincidence. He's like, hey, I see that you've got all these Chris Thayer Band, CW Thayer websites. Would you be willing to sell me ChrisThayer.com? And I said, sure, for like six figures, I'll sell it to you. And he's like, dude, I'm an independent comic. Like, I'm struggling to eat every week. I can't afford $100,000 for a stupid website. So, yeah, I wasn't keen on selling it. Yeah. Oh, so he got the name. I got the website.
Okay.
That is why I was forced to use CW. It's also a bit confusing because if I'm doing, you know, all these different things, people don't necessarily know what it is I'm doing from night to night. So by using CW, this is specifically I'm either using my writing or I'm using my stand-up stuff.
Okay.
So it's been cool that way. It's funny to me because the comics don't know me as Chris. Nobody calls me Chris in that world.
C-Dub.
Yeah, I'm CW. It is so bizarre. Like, and we'll see each other outside of, like, comedy world, and it's like, hey, what's up, CW? So weird to me. Like, Hector never calls me Chris. So, I don't think you ever have.
No.
Which is funny because we've known each other quite a while now.
It's also on the edge where we call each other our Instagram handles.
It's
like
true.
Sometimes you don't know people's names, but you know them by their handles.
Yeah. Like, and what up, like, Rated H?
Oh, it's like, oh, you're so-and-so? Oh, that's your name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I met Hector. I think we met at
The
Worthington's. Worthington's in Riverside. It's no longer doing comedy there, but that's one of the places we met. And I think we clicked kind of right away. I don't know if he did, but I was like, oh, I got to hang out with this guy. Hector might be the most positive person I've ever met.
My family wouldn't agree with you.
No, dude. Here's the thing is, and you can ask any comic in the scene, it's like, if you want to have a little bit of a boost, Hector is the guy to be around. Because he'll find something positive in whatever train wreck you just did and find a way to spin it in a way that you can take something good from it. That's one of the things I love most about this guy is he's infinitely positive, unless he's driving.
Yeah. I need to balance all the negativity with some positive. You know, it's 90% negative, 10% positive when I'm with
him. And I'm the opposite. I'm Mr. Negativity.
Let's wrap by reminding people about this event coming up, when and where. And again, I have to say that despite the fact that it's sold out, people ought to show up. I mean, unless it's raining cats and dogs, okay? Just show up because some people aren't going to show up.
Yeah.
There will be seats available. I don't care if it is officially sold out. But that in mind, where can people best follow this between Facebook, Instagram?
I'm on everything, and Hector is super good about posting everything. Like I said, he's a super supportive guy in the scene. And if somebody's doing a show, he's posting it. So everything is at CW Thayer except Instagram. Is at C.W.Thayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Hector, where can people find your social media?
I've got Facebook and Instagram attached. It's also at Rated H Comedy.
Rated H.
So good.
And then that's pretty much it. That's where I'm at mostly. So
I have the website. You can definitely check the improv school, Redlands, all one word, .com. I told him if people say they aren't going to make it, we want to fill the room. I want to make this thing as cool as possible. I probably should shout out Kelly McGuire, who's going to be doing the video and the audio recording. Kelly is a veteran of everything in this scene. He also has worked for MAV TV for a number of years and pretty much knows
everything. He recorded
your
first album.
He did, absolutely. Yeah. He recorded the first Big Papa record.
The live one, yeah.
Yeah, Kelly is the guru, and he's going to do amazing camera work. We have another guy coming in that I work with who teaches the film program over at Arroyo, Eduardo Mejia. He's going to come in and shoot as well. We're really trying to do something really, really nice, top-notch, like pro level. And if something comes of it, cool. You know, if we end up with a special, the goal is to give every one of the comics on the show something that they can use, you know, on their YouTube, on their Instagram or whatever. Probably should mention who else is on the show real quick.
Yes, please.
We have Margaret Aldridge, Sandy. He just goes by Sandy. And then hosting the show is one of the guys from the Buddy System, George Ferrito. And he is a total gem in this scene. He actually teaches a stand-up class at the improv school in Redlands. Mm. So, yeah, I was super thrilled he was willing to come out and host the show. Yeah, and then, of course, you know, this knucklehead right here. Mm-hmm.
And it's such a fun, intimate room.
It's a very cool room.
The laughs just bounce off the walls. It's fun.
And if you're just looking to go and hear some comedy, they do on Wednesday nights at around 8:15. They have an open mic. And it's like $5 to get in.
Oh, every Wednesday?
Every
it's just
Wednesday.
Ongoing thing. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And it's just right off of Tennessee Street over by the bike shop. I highly recommend it. It is a super fun room, and a lot of really good comics come through because it's such a fun, focused room.
Oh, fantastic. And so, again, I keep on mentioning that this upcoming thing is sold out, but following these guys, you will hear of and get notice of other shows coming up. And these are not just Inland Empire guys. These are hyper-local.
Right, right. Hector actually is headlining a show coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to be headlining at Ureli Brewing in Riverside on Saturday, March 29th. The host is going to be Alan, Ricky Molina, Steven Espinoza, and Wendy Wilkins. So the lineup is really, really good.
It's like, a solid lineup.
Between Steven and Wendy, they're two headliners themselves. So that's going to be a fun show coming up locally.
And that's free too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to plug the business or anything, but they have a beer that tastes like a churro. Like you're eating a cinnamon-laced donut. It's amazing. But okay, Ureli, folks, thank you.
All right.
It's been
great
years.
Beer. I'm going to go have that one afterwards.
Yeah. I'm not as much of a beer drinker as I used to be, but that sounds amazing.
It really, really is.
But, I'm in trouble now.
Oh, I want to go now. Okay. No. Okay. Well, phenomenal. Guys, CW, also Hector, thank you so much for coming in.
And thank you, Dave.
I can't
wait
if you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely. And keep us abreast of this, and we will try to make sure that people follow you as well. And there's comedy around. And thank you for providing this. We need
There's
smiles.
A lot of good comedy around. Go out and see it. There's a lot of really talented people in this area. Don't worry about driving to LA or Orange County. Yeah. There are really funny comics here in the Inland Empire.
And good local shows.
Great
a lot
local,
of good
shows.
Local shows.
Just, you know, search it up. Go to my page. Go to Hector's page. We're always promoting something for somebody.
Fantastic. So, thanks again, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
That was C.W. Thayer and Hector Lara, part of an evening of stand-up comedy April 4th at the Improv School in Redlands. And a reminder as well of the event at Ureli Brewing on the 29th of March, a Saturday. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVCR's. Thanks again to C.W. Thayer and Hector Lara. And here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Zach Mays, Champ Chipman, and Shireen Awad. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, Behind Us Now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.